Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
And a ceremony at Fiserv Forum is to be presented with a key to the city. Fagan announced earlier this month that he was stepping aside. Do we have that feed? E, can we take
the sun here? Listen to who's going to be talking right now.
Whereas, of course, it starts with whereas.
Oh, Pat's
Jim Morrissey.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here are your hosts, Eric Bilstad and Vince Vitrano.
I have staff from CBP and from ICE working on a drawdown plan.
Borders are Tom Homan earlier this morning in Minnesota addressing the state and the Twin Cities.
Nothing's ever perfect and anything can be improved on. And what we've been working on is making this operation safer, more efficient by the book.
So what all did we learn from Homan this morning on ICE and what the future looks like there in the Twin Cities? Joining us now from CBS is Anna Schefter. Good morning.
Good morning.
What did we learn today?
Well, Tom Homan gave his first press conference since arriving into Minneapolis on Monday that was really a message to all Americans that he sort of got this. Greg Bovino is no longer leading that mission following two shooting deaths of Minneapolis citizens who had been protesting ICE operations. Homan acknowledged that it wasn't perfect. Those were his words. But he also defended agents who are working in the difficult, challenging environments. And he said there is a shift in priorities. They will be refocusing on illegal immigrants with violent criminal histories. However, collateral, so if an undocumented immigrant is also encountered during the effort to get the individual they're targeting with a criminal history into custody, they will take that undocumented immigrant into custody as well. So that doesn't change, but they're not going to be going to gas stations and Home Depots and the like looking for people. They're going to be refocusing on a targeted effort. So he was very sober. Not emotional, but a little bit. It was a very soberly toned presentation, and I think appropriately so. And he did open it up for questions and, again, defended agents who are working under tough conditions. And a reminder that the agents involved in Alex Preddy's killing have been put on leave, but we don't really know anything about them. It's a very different scenario than in the Renee Good case, which occurred 3 weeks prior when she was shot and killed by Jonathan Ross, who had been an ICE agent in Minneapolis for more than a decade with a lot of experience. And he went home to be with his family. There was no information put out that he was put on any kind of leave or anything like that.
Anna Schefter is with us from CBS News this morning. And I would agree with you. We listened to some of the comments from Tom Homan live as they were playing out this morning, and your description of the tone, if you will, the sobering tone, even if some of the words weren't necessarily different, and then some of them were, as you pointed out, but even if the message was still to some degree the same, the tone just felt different than what we've been hearing from people on the ground and even in Washington in regards to everything that's been happening in Minnesota.
Exactly, exactly. It really acknowledging and kind of in a way an attempt to honor the lives of the two people lost and acknowledge two people died. Homan said he doesn't like to see anybody die, and he then continued on to talk about how he's actually buried federal agents who were shot in the line of duty. But he clearly was. He didn't really get into Alex Preddy or Renee Good by name, but it did seem like he was acknowledging the loss of life.
Anna, there's new video. You mentioned Alex Preti. He's actually grew up in Green Bay, so we've covered his story a little bit more intensively here in Wisconsin. There's new video that has surfaced or was deliberately surfaced as he was called by some of the administration a domestic terrorist or a would-be assassin were some of the more inflammatory claims made about his intentions in that moment that he scuffled with agents prior to being shot. There's new video that seems to be from about a week prior to that incident where it was Preti again, appears to be armed as a pistol kind of in his waistband, if you will. He's kicking out the rear taillight of a ICE vehicle or a Border Patrol agent's vehicle. So this is a guy, I don't know whether that changes the narrative necessarily, but there's clearly some, I don't know, effort on the part of the administration to say, okay, we accept that mistakes were made, but also they want to sort of, I don't know, back up some of the claims that were made about this is a guy that was known to agents and had scuffled with them before.
I think this is a really interesting point because it came to the administration's attention in kind of a circuitous way because it was actually documentary filmmakers and the BBC that were documenting immigration enforcement raids in Minneapolis, and they realized, wait a minute, we have him on tape. And in the beginning of this video, which CBS News has also obtained, in the beginning of the video, you see him, yeah, he's kicking out the back taillight, he's shouting, very aggressive, and then the ICE agents clad in their tactical gear, or federal agents, we don't know exactly, we can't say for sure, I don't want to say, I haven't been able to freeze frame and make sure that it's ICE, but federal agents jumped out of the car and roughed him up. So neither looks very good in that video, but it does paint this picture and it shows a little bit more of the vitriolic atmosphere in the city. There is tension. There is a real sense of stress and of even danger in some of these situations. You have angry protesters, but then you have guys who look like they're ready for a war zone jumping out of vehicles, which is the very thing that the protesters are calling out. But I don't know that it changes the narrative entirely, but it certainly does show that protesters were angry and shouting and even kicking the vehicle. So It's just a fuller picture of what's been going on in the city, in my view, over the last few weeks and actually a couple months.
CBS crime and public safety beat leader Anna Schechter joining us on Wisconsin's Morning News covering the situation in Minnesota. Thank you, Anna.
Thanks, Anna.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I just want to make sure I clarify my points because people can make their own decisions as to how they want to feel about any of it. I'm not suggesting that just because this guy once scuffled with agents that, you know, the shooting of him was justified in another situation. I'm not drawing no conclusions about that. I just want to make folks aware that there's additional video out there
that
it's being entered into the larger narrative about all of the conflicts going between some of the people of Minnesota and these Border Patrol agents. And I thought her Anna's point about how, okay, are we Homan coming in and saying, can we stop doing some of the more inflammatory stuff, but still do some of the other things that we think are important, and whether or not that will help sort of crank things down a little bit in the short term.
And as they, if they go after those who are breaking the law, and if someone else, I think what was the, someone else is caught in the, I hate using the word crossfire, but it's someone else who happens to be in that area that is talking to them and finds out that they are also here illegally, they would also still be picked up. But the idea of going after someone who isn't breaking the law, it sounds like they want to pull back from that.
And a more refocusing on what President Trump ran on and what he promised when he started this administration, this second term, was we're going to be going after lawbreakers and criminals and people who are terrorizing the community. That didn't match up with some of the other things that ICE was involved in over there in Minneapolis.
Or Border Patrol.
Right, Border Patrol, right. The kid who got detained. So people are trying to reconcile what was promised with the images that they're seeing. Is that everyone? No, but it's there in front of their own eyes. And you can't ask people to disregard what they're seeing right there in front of them. So Homan seems to say, look, we're going to get back and refocus on some of the things that we originally promised we would be doing. 9:18 on Wisconsin's Morning News. On Wisconsin's Morning News. Happening right now, former Bucks president Peter Fagan, in a ceremony at Fiserv Forum, is to be presented with a key to the city. Fagan announced earlier this month that he was stepping aside. Do we have that feed? E, can we take
listen to who's going to be talking right now?
Whereas, of course, it starts with whereas.
Oh, Pat's
Jim Pesky's house. Yeah. Leadership with the Milwaukee Bucks and Fiserv Forum, an era that has come to define the team's relationship with the city of Milwaukee and the state as well.
This
as
is
the
live right now, Jim
Pesky
reading the proclamation.
And success moving forward, Peter Fagan is stepping away from his role as president. And whereas, during his tenure, Peter oversaw the successful effort to construct the Fiserv Forum and Deer District, which not only ensured the Bucks remained in Milwaukee, but boosted the city's status as a hub of tourism, development, and prosperity, and continues to bring opportunities to
Eric,
the state.
There's no telling how many whereases there are. Like, you've seen some of these proclamations, so this could be over soon.
I'm trying to see if this is 2 pages
or 40 minutes from now.
So on hand, on the stage, Milwaukee Mayor.
<It's> another whereas.
Mayor Johnson is there. County Executive David Crowley is there. You know who else is in the audience? Giannis. Giannis is there. Very curious if he'll say a couple of words. He probably won't on the during the ceremony, but you wonder if he'll have to address anything with reporters who are on hand or would be willing.
Are people going to shout stuff at him? Like, what?
And whereas
no, it would be very un-Giannis to steal the spotlight from Peter in his moment,
right.
So I don't think he has any intentions of that.
You're right. That's a great point.
The people who are there when it's all said and done say, Giannis, you know,
right.
Like when the president's walking somewhere, Mr. President, can you
right. That is, I do. It made me smile to see him there, knowing that he came there to honor his guy. I agree with you. There's no interest in stealing the spotlight in this case. I think this is Giannis just showing his support and love for Peter Fagan. And Fagan's brother is there as well, as are some others.
Signed on this day, the 26th of January, 2026, Tony Evers, governor of the state of Wisconsin.
We got through all the whereases.
All right.
Therefore, I, right? That's how these end?
So now Pesky is.
We have another Bucks fan and Peter Fagan fan who couldn't be here today. She's a little busy in Washington, D.C., Senator Tammy Baldwin. Senator Baldwin.
So he's going to read a couple of different proclamations, and I guess we'll probably hear from the mayor as well as from the county executive before.
I want to see that key.
I was
looking
for it.
Is it on the table somewhere? Is there a.
I have not seen
what does
key
look like?
They have
somebody
some
said the other day in one of these that he would be presented with keys to the city. like what?
Ring,
like
ring,
the custodial ring?
So
like,
this will get you in the city hall.
Right.
This one only works if you jiggle it just right.
This one, I don't know what this is for. I mean, you can figure it out, but I don't know. This one might, I don't know.
This one county
stadium. Just one key.
County stadium. Well, listen to me. All right. So,
so what else is going on with Giannis, though? Because it feels like we've been talking about, are the Bucks going to trade Giannis? Is he going to demand a trade? We've been talking about this for years.
There's new reports out about a trade for Giannis, and it seems more real now, and it sounds like this is actually going to happen.
He has communicated with the Bucks. He's informed the necessary Bucks officials that he believes the time has come now for both of these sides, him and the Bucks, to move on after 13 years, after he led this team, this organization, to its first championship in 50 years.
It's Shams over at ESPN reporting that. So
this is the guy that's been reporting this stuff for a long time.
And
he rubs up wrong against some people,
and he doesn't just make it up. He gets this from people, whether it's Giannis's folks or someone at the Bucks. Like, he's not. And it sounds like both sides are listening. Now there's a lot of reports about which teams are raising their hands saying, can we knock the Bucks' socks off with a great trade offer? ESPN Milwaukee's Jen Latta joined us earlier on the program. Thought she had an interesting take on all of this.
I genuinely think that Bucks fans appreciate everything that Giannis and his family have done for the Milwaukee community and for the Bucks organization.
Okay.
And if Giannis were to say, I've given it all I got, this team's no good, can't win another title, I want to go see what I can do elsewhere, I think most people would be like, I get it. It's okay. Thank you for bringing a title to Milwaukee.
We would bless him.
Thank you for being a generational superstar, the unicorn that you are. Thank you for bringing international prestige to this great city. And they would say, we bid you farewell and good luck.
Yeah, good luck, man.
It's the posturing that is driving people insane. There's an exhaustion at this point. And look, Giannis and his camp could very well say, hey, we're not creating it. But I think the reality is Giannis wants out. This is my opinion. This is what I think because I'm reading the tea leaves. I'm reading the writing on the wall. I think he wants out. And here's why. Because he has always said, as long as the Bucks show him that they are fielding a competitive team, he wants to be in Milwaukee. Does it seem like the Bucks can field a competitive team?
Well, no.
I don't want to answer that question
right now, but
the answer is no.
But not, not for lack of trying to do so.
Sure.
Hasn't always worked out.
It's not. No one's accusing the Bucks of not spending enough money or not
or
making
time, or,
maneuvers
or getting
not doing
creative.
Things. Some of those haven't come to fruition or haven't worked out right. But they're trying things. They're pulling levers. They're just not hitting. I think her point on the exhaustion is interesting, and maybe some of it's just institutional memory that we as sports fans have. Maybe it's because we went through Favre and then we went through Rodgers, and both of those were protracted year after year. Will he be back? Won't he be back? Right. I don't know. Did he say? No, he didn't. ESPN's reporting this. Well, I heard that. Well, he's there. He's on an airplane. We're tracking the plane. This guy wants to be traded. He might go to here. He might go. God, just exhausting. Yep. And we went through that twice with two of our biggest stars. Now here we are again. Has some of those same feels. Totally different circumstances, but same feels.
Just hope that history doesn't repeat itself. Sometimes Wisconsin tends to hate its stars, its heroes. Right. I think even Bart Starr at a moment there was getting dragged, wasn't he, back when he was
coaching. He wasn't a great coach, as it turned out.
It's like pretty amazing human, yet still getting dragged.
Right.
I mean, we've seen it, so I would hate for that to happen to Giannis. You know, the guy is just too amazing. He's done so many amazing things. His family, his wife, everything about them has been great.
Well, and don't let your exhaustion cause you to cheer for an end you haven't really fully thought through. If he leaves, it's more than basketball. It's the diaper mission stuff. It's the good guy stuff. It's the attention of the entire planet on a global superstar who every once in a while they check in on little old Milwaukee here, and Giannis is there. So, all of that goes too. Before you get to the point of, well, I'm exhausted of this. Okay, but let's not rush him out the door because we're tired of talking about
it. So, trade deadline is next week, February 5th. We'll see. Does it happen this year or does it happen in the offseason? But it would appear that this may be the end for Yanni in Milwaukee.
.38 on Wisconsin's Morning News. In a couple of minutes, things to do inside and out as the weekend draws closer. We'll have WTMJ's Sandy Max in to talk about the weekend trend. Want to make sure we get on the record with this before anything else happens. Could the U.S. be headed closer to another international military incident?
Happening today on Wisconsin's Morning News.
This happening in the Middle East, President Trump, in a post on his Truth Social platform, said Wednesday that a, quote, massive armada is heading toward Iran. In addition to that, wrote, it is ready, willing, the U.S. is ready, willing, and able to rapidly fulfill its mission with speed and violence if necessary, urging Iran to make a fair and equitable deal. What deal is he talking about? What is this all about? Well, the president has suggested as protests were growing in Iran and reports of violence against protesters were coming out that the U.S. would intervene if the killing didn't stop on the streets of Tehran and other places. Additionally, the president still committed to trying to make sure that Iran does not become a nuclear nation, It's why we went in last summer and destroyed nuclear facilities. That was tangentially related also to what was going on in Gaza and all of those other factors. But this is back in the news now. Included in that is an aircraft carrier, the destroyers that accompany it. So what is it? The USS Abraham Lincoln is the carrier.
Yep.
Another part of this story that I found fascinating, Iranian officials reached out to some of their, if not friends, nations that are not adversarial to them, and started getting in their ears saying, don't help America on this. That apparently prompted the Saudis and United Arab Emirates to signal that they will not allow their airspace to be used for any U.S. attack on Iran. I found that interesting just because one of the pillars of President Trump's Mideast policy is to convince other Arab states, Saudis, UAE, Jordan, I mean, name any number of them, that we understand, thousands of years of beef with Israel. Okay, that notwithstanding, your real enemy here is instability, and the cause of that is Iran. They fund terrorist groups. They mess things up. You guys all like money, right?
Money could be made with Israel.
Right. So that's sort of been one of the pillars of his Mideast diplomacy. And so these nations, UAE and Saudi Arabia, saying, well, we're not going to cooperate with any sort of attack. That's interesting. Now, it might just be that there's a, I don't know if it's been said out loud anywhere, but some backroom diplomacy or some back channel diplomacy where that's why we put the aircraft carrier there. We don't really need that. So could they have reached out through back channels and said, look, we need to come out with a public statement that keeps us friendly with Iran in the interim?
Well, because
you're good, right? You can launch these things from the carrier. You don't really need us. Cool. All right.
Last time we would have used airspace, right? What was that one when we struck Iran the last time?
Those were B-2 stealths, and they took off domestically. Remember the whole
came
story,
out of here.
Right? They flew out of North Dakota, I think.
But flew all the way there.
All the way there.
All the way back. So in this case, we wouldn't do that.
So, right. Different type of strike and the different types of attack and bombers that can be based on that carrier. So story to watch as we go into tomorrow and the weekend. 9:42 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
The weekend.
The best part of the week is almost here.
The weekend.
This weekend.
Cheers to the freaking weekend.
This is the Weekend Trend with Sandy Max.
Weekend.
The Weekend Trend is presented by Three Pillars Senior Living Communities.
Let's go.
Weekend Trend indeed brought to you by Three Pillars Senior Living Communities. And the Weekend Trend is assembled by host of What's on Tap, WTMJ's Sandy Max.
I thought you meant the three of us assembling.
Ah, you do the assembling.
Weekend assemble. Right,
yes. I'm curating. Yeah, it's another.
The curating, that's a better word.
It's another winter weekend. And Eric, last weekend when you weren't here, Neil Doyle was in, and it was sub-zero.
At this
and
time,
dangerous.
It was about 13 below.
And it was. Well, it I didn't feel good encouraging everybody to like. And even Waukesha Jamboree had to cancel some things. Yeah. You know, it's like, bless their hearts.
Always,
you know,
right?
They try to have the Winterfest to embrace it. So I, as much as I will have some options to go out and about and enjoy Wisconsin, stay in and stream is my first category. And there are a couple things you might want to know. Shrinking, I love Harrison Ford.
Love that show.
Is back for season 3 on Apple TV Plus as
like
of this
exactly
weekend.
Exactly when?
I don't know exactly when, like no, but it's out now.
Does it drop? Oh, it is?
Yes.
3?
Yeah.
All right, I'm double checking.
Okay, I was like...
So that, for those who haven't seen that, can you argue
that
it's Ted Lasso-y, right?
Yes.
When you argue,
it's got vibes,
it's got
feels.
Little hints of Ted Lasso.
Sure. Well, yeah. Don't we all need a little bit of hopefulness
agreed.
And positivity,
yeah.
But also tempered with not over and over. Because Ted Lasso could have just been sappy and annoying, but that's what made it fun is the depth of it and his evolutions and mental health challenges. So
do you happen to know, do they drop the whole thing at once or is it like they're leaking it out? I'm asking you too much about it.
No, I don't know if they dropped
well, about
all
the
at
Bridgerton
once.
Then.
Exactly. Bridgerton season 4, part 1, just stringing you along if you're into
course.
The period.
That's all on the Netflix, yeah.
I feel it's like the cotton candy Downton Abbey. You know, it's like colorful costumes, good music, but just it's much more of a soap opera than Downton Abbey ever was.
All so, the things you really like. Right?
I've been told by the ladies that Bridgerton season 1 cannot be beat. That was the best and it hasn't been
I think
been
they
as
raised the bar. Yeah.
And they're shifting the focus now to Benedict Bridgerton.
Of course.
Now, if you put
are.
Benedict Cumberbatch in this thing, then I'm in. I'm all the way in on season four. But this should be a lot of fun. And I also like the way they use music in Bridgerton. Okay. So somebody in your circle is probably quite squeaky excited about Bridgerton returning. And if you're really into film, Sundance Film Festival, they are streaming some of the selections. So you don't have to go to Utah. And there are some buzzy films like Chris Pine, which I'll watch anything with Chris Pine in, but Chris Pine is...
We're learning a lot about Sandy.
Just say, I guess so, yeah. Benedict Cumberbatch, Chris Pine. We're going to... Jason Bateman.
Harrison Ford.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I heard him. I'm just name-checking all my favorite actors right now. But Chris Pine is in a romantic drama with Jenny Slate called Carousel. Also, Channing Tatum and Gemma Chan are in Josephine, which has got a lot of buzz about a family struggling after a child sees a traumatic event. So some of those more profound films in award season. And then on screen, if you want to go to the movies, an incredible experience. I interviewed the creator last night. Jean-Francois Alcolea is coming to town with Right in the Eye is the name of this cinematic concert experience. Two performances at 4 and at 7 at the Oriental Theater tomorrow. So what you will see on the screen are 12 different short films made almost 100 years ago. Silent films by Georges Méliès, this French cinematic pioneer and also an illusionist. But these silent films are accompanied by three musicians playing 50 different kinds of instruments. So you see piano and drums and guitar, but some of the other instruments are things that are found, you know, like plastic lids, wine glasses, but also those like really unusual instruments like the theremin. Woo! You know, that pole where you don't touch it and it makes those spooky sounds. And something called an ocean harp, which is a bowl that has all these little bronze rods on it. So it's going to be visually stimulating, musically stimulated. I don't think it's an experience you will ever have again. And think about it. These silent films were made almost 100 years ago. Seeing it in the Oriental Theater, which was built in 1927 and is just a historic, beautiful space to be in.
Have done that. Have been at the Oriental to see one of those really old movies with the live bands before. It's an experience.
Yeah.
It's definitely something you remember.
So I can suggest that. And good for all ages. It's Right in the Eye is the name of it. Saturday at 4 and at 7 at the Oriental Theater. Also out in the cinemas, Melania the documentary. Send Help, the horror film with Rachel Adams.
So you call that a horror film? Is that what that
is? It looks like it. The people stranded on a desert island, and I was on IMDb doing research. Like, she's pretty much blood spattered. And then it says, from the director of Evil Dead 2 and some other title.
Evil Dead 2 is a classic.
Well, so I'm thinking, it's hilarious. I'm thinking it is going to be horror.
Is it?
And
but is she the good
the
guy?
Protagonist?
Yeah.
What I have is it follows crash survivors trapped on a remote island with deadly secrets. And directed by Sam Raimi, who is known for those high tension scares.
Yeah, too much boo scare for me. Too much jump scare.
But it looks like it's got some like black comedy in it, or I don't know. I'm fascinated by this movie because I can't figure out what it's about.
You can go to the theater. We look forward to your review. Send Help is that name. And then if you dig just plain old action, Shelter with Jason Statham. Other ways to entertain yourself indoors. Museum Days goes on through Sunday. Lots of deals and discounts and fun freebies at over 30 different museums.
What about the winter festivals? What are we doing outside?
Oh, if you want to embrace it, I love this. Lake Geneva Winterfest is really cool, and it's the right weather for all of these ice sculpturing teams from around the world, up and down Riviera Park there and Main Street. And so they are carving now. And then the actual carvings will be up Saturday and Sunday. And they've got other funds like bonfires, but it's really a fun, you know, Lake Geneva is just a
super
great spot to hang out anyway. And then if you want to go really cold, go up north. Lake Superior Ice Festival is happening Friday and Saturday.
Let me tell you about an ice festival.
Yeah, they know how to embrace it. And also the Recraft and Relic Winter Market at the Milwaukee County Sports Complex Saturday and Sunday. And if you want to laugh, David Spade is at the Riverside Friday night.
David Spade.
A little snark, a little sarcasm.
I like that better the first time when it was called, right? Remember that was always his line?
Bye-bye. He was one of those.
He would do the movie reviews. Yeah, I liked it better the first time when it was like
Tommy
Boy. And he was in Black Sheep. He's like, yeah, I liked it better the first time. It was called Tommy Boy.
Yep.
And thus the snark.
That's the weekend trend. If this weekend's lineup sounds fun, you want to check out our friends at Three Pillars Senior Living Communities, where top-notch events and activities are at the heart of everyday life on the beautiful Lake Country campus. Visit threepillars.org today.
Thanks, Sandy.
Thank you.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Fagan get his key? Did we wrap that thing up?
Yes. Got his key. It looks like it's attached to a plaque. So it's not like something you hook on your belt.
Live! Okay. Get ready, Milwaukee, for Thursday!
We should have that purged from the system.
I can't play it anymore.
Former Bucks president Peter Fagan, who announced earlier this month that he would be stepping aside, was just presented within the hour a key to the city of Milwaukee. Various proclamations were read.
It was pretty neat that Giannis was there. Giannis and his wife were in attendance. Don't know if I saw any other players. But
we
I
were keeping
sure
an eye
Gianni
on it, too,
there.
Just to see whether Gianni spoke or had any role in it or got a pull aside with any reporters.
Right.
I'm guessing probably not and would have tried to avoid that. But some pretty heavy hitters were there in the house. Great to see Jim Paschke again.
Yep. He was
long-time
the MC.
Bucks announcer, right? Mm-hmm. Hear that voice. Did you get a good look at the key? You said it's attached to a plaque?
It looks like it's attached to the plaque, so you hang the plaque on the wall and the key's on there, so you can't like take it off and...
We did try to establish
your fob
how
to
many
it.
Keys to the city are floating around out there, because you want to know how many keys you got.
The number was shocking.
Didn't you say it was four?
Four is the number I could find. There's probably more,
like
but...
That's not right. I don't
and the
know.
Number was, it was not a lot of people that you would know. It was right. like... I mean, one of them is our teammate over at 101.7 The Truth. Homer Blow is one of them.
Okay.
And then a comedian I hadn't heard of.
There was one, I mentioned it earlier, there was one news release that said he would be presented with the keys to the city.
Yeah.
Which I wondered, well, what would that be? Like, are they actual keys?
This carries around this, right. gets you in this door.
So I had a vision, though, of what the key to the city would look like. It's different than that. I thought it'd be like a big key, like a big old like skeleton key looking thing. This is a key.
No, it's not that. It's like 3 inches long, probably. Like, and it's on a plaque. No. Maybe four.
Disappointing.
I'm sorry.
I tell you, that's disappointing.
That's what you want me to do about it.
Big, giant key. And absent that, then, I wanted a, like a custodian style on the chain, 38 different keys, whatever. These are the keys to the city. This one here, I'm not sure. This one here, what'd you say? Got to jiggle it a little bit?
It's got to jiggle a little bit, yeah. And that'll get you into the historical society.
Right, wherever you want to go. This one's to the museum. That's fine. This one's at the salt barn. Jiggle it.
Parade on Thursday?
Parade on Thursday, what? Oh, my God.